So you're aiming for a target, but you miss it. It's not like something that is like you're deliberately aiming your bow and arrow at somebody. No, you're aiming at a target. That, Lord, I want to be righteous. I want to be good. I want to be a reflection of you. And then you miss the mark, and that's when we need to confess. Speak it out. Speak it out. And I've learned, in terms of hedging myself against doing the same old stupidness again, give it as much detail as possible. Right, Acts chapter 28, verses number 1 to 6. Acts 28, 1 to 6. We know this common story about Paul landing at Malta. If I could have it in the New American, please. I just love the New American. Thank you. Bible says this. It says, when they had been brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. Praise God. You know, God blew Paul the Apostle off course for 2 weeks so that he could land and establish Malta as a Christian stronghold. Amen. And it's a Christian stronghold today. It's remarkable. A friend of mine over there, Pastor Gordon, in a church called River of Love. If you're ever on holiday in Malta, do look up River of Love. He's a mighty man of God. I mean, there's something very special that God is doing in that church there. I mean, there's 500 members in the church. The population of Malta is only 500,000, and he's got 500 people in his church. So 1 in 1,000 Maltese goes to his church, which is amazing. And he's got 25 ex-gays and lesbians in the church, 25 of them. Isn't that remarkable?
Yes,
he's just got an anointing for deliverance in that area of life. It's quite remarkable. Praise Jesus forever. Verse number 2. But the natives showed us extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in and because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. But when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. When the natives saw that the creature hung from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly, this man is a murderer. And though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. However, he shook the creature off from the fire and suffered no harm. But they were expecting that he was about to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they waited a long time and had seen nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and began to say that he was a god. Brother, isn't that today's Instagram, Telegram, Twittergram lifestyle of people? He's a demon. He's a god. He's a demon. He's a god. Now, Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. The Bible says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. Thou didst hear my voice. You have cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and your current engulfed me. And all your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again towards your holy temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains, and the earth with its bars were around me forever. But you, O Lord, brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay, for salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on dry land. What a great story. Two great stories. And you've got to remember that as we read that scripture in Jonah chapter 2, Jonah was still inside the whale as he was praying that prayer.
Yeah.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah.
There was a, and I remember being told, you know, in anyone else had this experience where you go to Sunday school and they'll tell you about Jonah and the fish. And then you'll go to school and they'll say, a fish could never swallow a human. This story is ridiculous and nonsense. Anyone been there? And then, like, on social media a few weeks ago, there was a story, I think it was a guy in Indonesia or something, a fisherman who had literally been swallowed by a fish, and the fish puked him up on dry land just a few, like, a couple of months back. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Absolutely amazing. What to do when things go wrong? Has anyone ever had something go wrong in life? Anyone sticking up two hands and two feet right now? Yeah. Yeah. So we need to know how to approach situations when they go wrong. When something suddenly happens. I wrote a book, it's in the bookshop, called Welcome to Ziklag, How to Rise from the Ashes of Tragedy. Because things can go wrong. And yeah, I used to hesitate, and I still do, singing that song, you know, I don't worry when things go wrong. Because I don't ever want to believe God for when things go wrong. In fact, you don't have to believe God for things to go wrong. Anyone notice that? In fact, you have to believe God for things to go what? Right. Yeah? So we've got to know the focus of our faith and train our faith, develop our faith before things happen.
That's right.
The Bible says, surely in a time of trouble, you'll not be found. Anyone been there?
Yes.
With God? It's like radio sign. Lord, where are you? Where are you? Can't you see? I remember, oh my goodness, my wife was away on a trip. This was just after we got married. And we made the mistake of... there was a flat being emptied out in this part of the Lake District that Joe's parents had a flat, and they were just giving away some old equipment. So they were giving away this microwave because they were emptying out the flat and everything like that. So we took in this microwave. Big mistake. It was one of those old twisty button, like it must have been one of the first ones made. It was that old. And I remember putting in a chicken chow mein into the thing. Joey was away doing her business for Prince Charles up north somewhere. And I remember I've put on this microwave, I've put in the chicken chow mein, and I've set the timer correctly, and, you know, I've stirred the thing and let it cook. And I remember eating the thing, and I remember crunching through ice and thinking, you know what, this thing is, it doesn't feel right. Something's not right here. Crunching through ice. Yeah. And it was like, wow. Anyway, the next day, dude, mate, you talk about a dose of salmonella. A dose. My hair started falling out. I couldn't get out of bed. I was chucking up everywhere. Sorry if you've got a delicate stomach or a strong imagination, but that's what was going on. And so I'm like, Lord, help me, help me. I'm feeling so stupid. Has anyone, you've ever had something go wrong and it's been your fault and you've felt so stupid about it? And this was my situation. I'm saying, God, help me, Lord, help me. And it's almost like God was like leaving me in my stupidness. This is no word of a lie. I felt the presence of God come in the room, and I felt like an angel look at me and go like this. He said, this sickness is not unto death. And then he left. left me to stew in my own stupidity. Anyone been there before? Isn't it horrible? But that's how we grow. I never use that stupid thing again. I mean, you know, you can buy a new one for like 60 quid. What a stupid thing to do. Stupid. But you see, turn to your neighbor and tell him, if you ever get swallowed by a whale, tell him, if you ever get swallowed by a whale, keep on praising.
Keep on
There's something. Whales do not like to swallow praises. If you're praising in the heart of the whale will vomit you up in Jesus' mighty name. We have a forerunner called Jonah who has proved that. Amen. So make sure, if you're ever swallowed by a whale, number one, keep praising. That's the first thing. What to do when things go wrong. You imagine Paul and Silas, they're preaching the gospel and there's all kinds of great things happening in this particular city. And then there's some woman who just won't shut up, chasing after them, shouting, these men are a blah, blah, blah. They're showing us a way of salvation. And Paul's like, he's just annoyed in his spirit by this one. He's like, something's wrong concerning this particular individual. And he turns around and casts that devil out of her and they end up in jail. But the Bible says, at midnight, yes, Paul and Silas were singing praises. There's something about praises that release something. And if, you see, Paul could have been stood there because in those days, they just chain you up against the wall and that's it. If you need the bathroom, you just go. If you need to sleep, you just not drop your head like that. It's not like a cell today where they've got all kinds of nice things, etc., right? This was like proper, proper dungeon prison. And he could have easily been thinking, oh no, it's my fault. Why was I so stupid? Why didn't I just shut my face? Why did I have to cast this devil out of this woman? Like, what is going on? But you see, he chose, like, praise in those situations is a choice. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Praise is a choice. Yes. And it's really important that we choose to praise in those situations. We choose praise. And the Bible says there was a mighty earthquake and their chains fell off and all sorts of great things happened. And the church there at Philippi was founded because they wouldn't stop praising in the midst of a contrary circumstance. We have the letter to the Philippian church where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice as a result of them refusing to do anything but praise. Wow. Hallelujah to Jesus. May that be your portion and your testimony in Jesus' mighty name. What to do when things go wrong. Now, there's also things that can happen as a result of our own character or lack of. Amen. I mean, I was preaching last Sunday. I was preaching here about, you know, don't allow strife into your life, blah, 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 blah. And there was a problem then I had to fix on Wednesday and I got into strife and I was like, oh, and I just came away. I don't know if you ever feel that way sometimes where you just come away from a situation and like you just feel terrible. And then the devil jumps in the passenger seat and says, that's right. Look at you, you mess. Look at the state of you, man. You call yourself a Christian. You call yourself a man of God. Ugh, how could you be so? Do you know what I mean? Anyone been there before? Yes. Isn't it horrible? I mean, I've got two arms and legs in the air for that one as well. But you know what? There's something about the way that God approaches life that is so different to us that it's not that you're let off the hook for a lack of character, but it's like the mercy and patience of God is just remarkable. You know, they always say about mercy and favor, how to tell the difference. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And favor is getting what you don't deserve. Yes. Isn't that a good description? Right. And I just, in those situations, I say, Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your forgiveness. And then I remember that scripture. This is one of my favorite scriptures. You know, the Bible says that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day, right? So I remembered that scripture and I thought, wow, can you imagine something like a lack of character mattering to me in 1,000 years time? No. In 1,000 years, I'm going to be there like praising God or developing my own planet or, you know, making some like riding my light craft across the universe with angels and, do you know what I mean? Like heaven is a very active, very intense place with a lot going on. This idea, you know, especially at Christmas time where you've got these like weird looking babies with wings, like playing harps and like, that is such a messed up idea of heaven. I mean, they couldn't have read their Bible and come up with an idea of heaven like that. I mean, my goodness me. It's like, that's just insanity gone mad, you know? But in 1,000 years' time, I thought, you know what, will this matter in 1,000 years? No. Okay, so to God, it won't matter tomorrow. Because with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So either way, because of the mercy and favor of God, that works in your favor. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. So the things that the devil tries to bind you with, I mean, guilt, you know, because I was raised in a Catholic church, guilt is like an occupation. Any ex-Catholics, you know the score. Mea culpa, mea culpa. I mean, we even learned it in Latin. I mean, who speaks Latin? It's like, oh, my fault, nothing but my fault, and my fault, and my fault, and my fault. I've sinned against you, oh God. I remember my mum beating her chest in the church, saying, you know, what a terrible sinner she was. And I mean, she used to glow in the dark. She was so holy and righteous. And I'm thinking like, wow, if that's her, what chance me, Mr. Blackguard from Tottenham? Do you know what I mean? But that's, you know, honestly. May the Lord deliver you from guilt in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. So number one, what to do when things go wrong. Here's what I do. I just jotted down four things that I believe will help you. Number one, take full responsibility for the situation. Now I'm talking about when things go wrong because of you. Not because of, oh, that woman thou hast given me. Isn't it so easy to blame, like, you know, that's why I think it's in the earliest chapters of Genesis. It's because it's like, it's the most common thing. Oh, that wench thou hast given me. Why didst thou? You know, that's the King James version. Yeah. I mean, it's just so easy. But the difficulty there is that if you never take responsibility for the situation yourself, God can't get you out of it.
That's right.
Never. Personal responsibility. Father, this is what I do. I like enclose myself. I'm thinking of a particular situation. You know, my car, where I broke up my car a few weeks ago, I like scraped it off a wall down in Leicester Square, and it was like, oh my goodness me. And it's like, God, Lord, you gave me this car. It was a supernatural blessing. It was like such a sign of your favor and your goodness. And it's like, you know, I had to, and you see, here's a replay how I could have played the situation. Because my wife was in the passenger seat with me. And just before I scraped it off the wall, she went, oh, Paolo, like that. So she'd seen something out of the wing mirror, but I'm the driver. Now, can you imagine? The dangling temptation. Yeah, yeah. The dangling temptation to say, Joey, why didn't you, what? Right, here's the thing. I'm the driver, I'm at the wheel, and in law, I'm the one responsible, doesn't matter what's going on around you in your car. Yeah. Amen. Now, even if it wasn't in law, in God's eyes, yes. I'm the one in control. That's why if you read your Bible well, it talks about husbands and elders and bishops and everything like that being able to manage their household well. Because if there's something in a household that needs to be dealt with, that falls on the man's shoulders. Oh, Pastor P, that's not very politically correct. Well, let me say it again then. It falls upon the man's shoulders because God sees the husband as the head of the wife. And everyone who isn't clapping is a politically correct suspect in Jesus' name. No, that's how it is in Christ. We can't rewrite scripture. In these days, you're either biblically correct or politically correct. I would much rather stand before God eternally in judgment and say that, but to my best of my ability, I've been biblically correct.
Amen.
And everyone not clapping is a politically... I'm mucking around. We have to. In this day and age, we have to take a stand. So number one, take full responsibility for the situation. Boom. Number two, give it to God in detail. There's something about, and I've learned this from my wife. Now, she does it in the realm of healing of the soul and the emotions, and particularly things to do with trauma. I've seen her minister to people and, I mean, pull out deep plugs out of people, like deep ones. And there's like, it's not a formulaic thing. It's not like a kind of, you know, oh, I do this and then that and then, no. I mean, the anointing has to be there. But brother, I mean, I have seen her pull out some like, you know, there's some sword wounds go deep. Things, especially like betrayal and like, you know, like just, I don't know, self-worth issues from that, like people have had from their childhood and stuff like that. And she will talk it through with them in detail. And then she will lead them in prayer in that situation in as much detail as possible. And there's something about detail that God really moves on. I can't explain it. I know that, you know, the Bible says, you see, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We read that scripture so many times that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us when we feel it. When we feel forgiven. Oh, but Pastor P, I don't feel forgiven. Well, read the scripture again. Where does it say anything about feeling like you're forgiven? Amen. I'm working on guilt here. I didn't know that this thing would come so strong against guilt, but I'm so glad. So if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I put it this way, when we confess our sins. And a sin is something like, it's an old archery term in the Greek. So you're aiming for a target, but you miss it. It's not like something that is like you're deliberately aiming your bow and arrow at somebody. No, you're aiming at a target. That, Lord, I want to be righteous. I want to be good. I want to be a reflection of you. And then you miss the mark, and that's when we need to confess. Speak it out. Speak it out. And I've learned, in terms of hedging myself against doing the same old stupidness again, give it as much detail as possible. I don't know why, but detail tends to work. I think it's the thing of rerunning, that as you rerun the thing in your words, it's like you're getting a cleansing from it. That's the only way I can describe. I don't even know the process. I don't even know if the process is in the Bible, but that's what it feels like for me. I've learned that way to deal with it and then put it under the blood of Jesus and walk away as though I'd never done it. Hallelujah. Now, obviously, apologize if you've done something against someone. You know, you cut them up in traffic. I mean, dude, I'm an animal of a driver, and I do apologize. Anyone who sees me on the road, like, just pray for me. I said to God, you know, I said, I've got a number plate that clearly shows that I'm in Christian ministry. You know, I said, Lord, I'm a terrible witness. He said, it's okay. It's a good witness when it's parked. So that's good enough for me. Can you say amen? So that was number two. Give it to God in detail. Look at what Jonah says. Now, this is Jonah in, like, he's still in the fish. Do you understand? This isn't when he's on dry land that he's praying this prayer, right? He's still in the fish. And he says, the seaweed has been wrapped around my head. And it's like, yuck. It's like gross. The great deep engulfed me, it says in verse 5 of chapter 2. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. Eesh. And you can imagine, you know, I mean, this is like whale vomit. Do you understand? This is like God knows what would that do to your skin and to your clothes. Anyone like the smell of rotting fish? I've got a job for you if you do. Huh? Nobody. There's something so gross and vile and disgusting about it. And Jonah is covered in this stuff and weeds around his head like a crown. And he's saying, I remembered your temple. I'm in another place. While I was fainting away, he says in verse 7, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to thee into thy holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness, but I will sacrifice to thee. In other words, I'm coming out of this. And not only am I coming out of it, but I'm coming out with a voice of what? Thanksgiving. Whew. That which I have vowed, I will pay. Can you imagine him walking up to the temple and he's just been puked by a fish and he's got his offering in his hand and he's walking up to the temple and he's covered in whale puke and seaweed and he's paying his vow to the Lord. I mean, this is like, it's crazy stuff. Amen. So I figured if God can forgive Jonah, God can forgive me. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor P. Praise God. So that's number two. Give it to God in detail. Number three, receive your forgiveness.
That's good.
Receive it like the way we would receive a gift.
Yes.
There's something about it. There's something about the act of faith of receiving. You know, sometimes the most difficult person to forgive in a situation is yourself. Particularly if, like in marriage, you know, if you've hurt your spouse or you've just, you know, you've had an argument or whatever and you've said things that you shouldn't have said or you've done things that you shouldn't have done or anything like that, that the most difficult time to forgive yourself is in that situation. I remember me and my wife were having a row about something or other. And I don't know, it's like, anyone ever been there?
Yes.
You know, the Bible talks about things too deep for articulate speech. And we were, you know, arguing away or whatever. And I'd said something and she just burst into tears. And she said, and there's no need to cut me to pieces. Oh, mate. I felt like I kicked a puppy. You ever see anyone hurt a puppy? I mean, there's this video going round of the Chinese authorities killing this dog that the woman was in quarantine and they couldn't, you know, because of COVID. So the authorities went in and kicked this dog to death, little corgi. And it's like, when you see it, it's like, dude, you heartless thug. There's something about kicking a pup. I felt like a puppy kicker. I can still remember the words. And it's like I just melted. I felt so stupid. Now, you see, if I hadn't trained myself, you know, we're talking about training yourself beforehand, right? It's really important that we train ourselves so that when the bumps of life come, can you imagine doing a hurdles race without ever having trained yourself in how to jump hurdles? It would be very difficult, right?
Yes.
So train yourself beforehand in this. And I remember having to walk in the forgiveness of God. If you've ever had to walk by faith in a particular project, I had to walk by faith in the forgiveness of God because I hated myself. But that wasn't good for either of us. Amen. Anyone been there? I don't know if you're quiet because it's like, wow, you wretch, Pastor P. I'm never coming back to this church. Or it's like, oh, no, Pastor P, you're speaking deep into my situation here. Preach on, brother, preach on. Anyway, so that, okay, thank you, sir. That's one person. Receive your forgiveness. Father, I don't feel like it. I feel awful. I've just been awful, but Lord, your son hung on that cross for my sins. And I confess this thing as a sin, Lord God. I confess my lack of character as a sin, Lord God. And I receive your forgiveness in Jesus' mighty name. You may not feel different at all. Nothing may have changed. But there's something about the blessing of God that can descend into the situation. And the Bible says, you see, it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that in due time he will lift you up. I guarantee you, my brother and sister, if you're still living and breathing on this earth, you're going to make mistakes. That's just the way it is. So we have to train ourselves beforehand. Okay, is this helping you? Number one, take full responsibility for the situation. I really recommend a book. There's a book done by two special forces commanders in the American, what were they, Navy SEALs or something like that. And it was called Extreme Ownership. Leif Babin and Jocko Willink, I think is their names. And they wrote this book called Extreme Ownership. And they're taught at that level of warfare, they are taught that you are responsible for your circumstances, you are responsible for your surroundings, that there's no other way that you can. I loved that book as a result of that because it resonated with my spirit about the way that God has dealt with me. So I really recommend that to you. It's called Extreme Ownership by Leif Babin and Jocko Willink. Hallelujah. Number two, give it to God in detail. Number three, receive your forgiveness. And number four, listen for a way through. Listen for a way through. Sensitize. You see, this is why the devil plays the guilt game. It's because while you're trapped in guilt, you can't hear the voice of God. And the voice of God is your deliverance. God is your deliverer. But if you're stuck in guilt and you're just, you know, then it's going to be very, very difficult, probably impossible, to find a way through. There's nothing that God can't fix. Amen. You remember that song? It's not a problem that I can fix because I can do it in the mix. Well, listen, if a DJ can save your life and make a way through, how much God? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Really, really important. Really important. Listen for a way through. Let me take you back because this is testimony time now for Pastor Pete. Praise Jesus forever. Ah, my vehicle. Glory to God. You know, when you drive the same car as the Queen, it gives you good vibes. That's all I can say. And when I scraped it off the wall, it was like, oh my goodness. I couldn't blame my wife because I was at the wheel. I'm the one responsible for the car and everything going on around it. So I had to take responsibility. I had to give it to God in as much detail as possible. I had to receive my forgiveness. And it was such a fight because my heart sank. You know, you've got to pay the excess on the insurance and all that kind of stuff. And the devil's like, what are you going to do now, clever clogs? Now, here's the scripture, you see? Here's the scripture. And this is why you've got to, like, train yourself beforehand. What does the Bible say? If you follow the Lord, etc., follow his commandments, etc., and do all that he's told you to do, he says, you'll be blessed coming in and blessed going out. What has happened going in to a car park? I was going in somewhere. And so, I'm sorry, no, devil, I'm blessed going in. Amen. Amen. What's that? That's contrary pressure to circumstance. So the moment I released those words, I'm put in the angelic world. You remember Apostle Samuel, the forces. Yes. I'm putting the angelic forces to work in that situation, right? And so this thing's trying to play on me. I said, no, I refuse guilt. Were you proud of me that day? She was so proud of me. She was glowing. It's like, wow, Paolo, I'm so proud of you. The way you've like taken smacking up your car. And I said, don't worry, my love, it is well in Jesus' name. And I just kept confessing over it. It is well. 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 Father, I give it to you in the name of Jesus. You are the one. I cast the care of this thing on you. You're the way maker. You're the one who will make a way through. And God said, go talk to the guy across the road. There, the mechanic across the road. So I'd known already that the damage estimate would be about £1,000 to fix that, because the door was like buckled in, and also the wheel arch. And then you've got to do colour match, you've got to do respray, you've got to buff it up. It's like, those things aren't cheap at all. Anyone who's banged up their car, you know about it, Junior. Hallelujah. Oh no, Hayat. Are you the queen car?
Not anymore.
Not anymore, okay. She's learned. Praise God, it's under the blood. Glory to God. She's guilt-free in Jesus' name. So anyway, I go and see the guy across the road. He says, you know what? He says, you're such a blessing to us because you let us use spaces across the way. He said, I've got a mate who'll probably do it for you for £150. So I thought, wow, you know, that'll preach. Praise God. And so anyway, he took it off me Friday. I said, is it going to come back? Because I need it Saturday afternoon to get home, because I've got to cook for the children. Joey's doing the virtual encounter. And he said, yeah, it'll be back there. I'll make sure myself. So he stood there just beside the electric doors there watching some of the Healed for Life thing. And he said, I really liked it. Yeah, I mean, because we pray for all the guys around here that God will touch them and bless them, etc., bless their business and all that kind of stuff, right? And he said, yeah, I liked it a lot. He said, here's the key, come out and see it. I went out and saw it. Man, I mean, it is beautiful. The job he's done on it is beautiful. Absolutely just beautiful. So I took my wallet out to pay him. And I said, how much was it? He said he did it for 120. He said, but I want to give it to you as a blessing. Oh. Hallelujah. Now, you see, that might be a tiny insignificant thing, but what about a broken relationship with a family member?
Yes.
What about that son or daughter that's gone off the rails? And every time you think about them, it's like descending down into a cellar of broken relationships, where every time you think, you remember the time you told them off. You remember the time you did this. You remember the time you lost your temper there. You remember the time you just never, even from the moment they were born, they just, I don't know, there was something between you and them. You know the way the devil plays puppet strings with people? And there was just that thing, and it's like every time you think about it, this thing comes over you. Let me give you 4 steps. Number 1, take full responsibility for the situation. Number 2, give it to God in detail. Number 3, receive your forgiveness. And number 4, listen for a way through. God is the relationship restorer. Could you stand to your feet right now? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Lord. Circumstances change, public opinion changes. But Lord God, you remain the same. And I thank you that you're a forgiver. I thank you that you are a healer of relationships, Lord God. Father, we lift those broken relationships to you in the mighty name of Jesus right now. If there's a relationship in your life that's just gone sour somehow, something didn't work out, something failed, just lift a hand to heaven right now and just receive that word over your life, because the master restorer, the master repairman wants to restore, wants to bring you on a journey of restoration. And with this year of divine acceleration coming up, you can invite Jesus into that boat, and that thing can be at the other side very, very quickly. Father, we lift these relationships to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Start that work, Heavenly Father, we pray. We refuse to listen to the forces of guilt. We take responsibility, Heavenly Father. We'll confess in detail. Lord God, we'll look to you for a way through, what the next steps are. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all God's people said, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God.